This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premiere Lucha Underground after show on the web. My name is Max, and with me, as always,
is Travis. Hey, guys.
Hello, everyone. Man, I did a terrible job of note-taking on this episode.
Yeah.
I have maybe a half page.
I didn't take much either. This could be, I was thinking this could be a quick one.
Yeah.
There wasn't, there is noteworthy stuff, but not a lot that I feel merits discussion. Aside from a couple, hey, maybe we'll surprise ourselves. Cut to like 3 a.m. No.
Dragon Azteca Jr. was robbed. News and notes?
One little news and note. One little bit of news.
Sure.
Drago has made an appearance on Impact.
Really?
Yeah.
What do we know what he
was wearing? I was just going to show you. Wearing his trademark, the purple, black, and white.
Wow, that's pretty dope.
Looking as great as always.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen him wear that one before.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
This is, as I said, his trademark, black, purple, and silver.
That one's very cool. There's like, for those, I would encourage people, fans of the show, to seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's mostly black, but with some real purple accents. You know, because Trav, he doesn't normally wear that.
Uh-huh. What about the T-shirt? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a little. I mean, I guess better that than just no shirt. I don't know. I don't understand
the
circumstances.
I disagree.
I don't understand. I need to know the context of the clip.
It looks like they're like he's part of a bunch of new signings or something. I don't know. Because this was kind of like their first show with since merging with Global Force.
Oh yeah.
I think. And I think there was supposed to be a new logo of some sort. But yeah, there it is. Purple, black, and silver.
Mm-hmm.
The usual.
No. You keep saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true. Normally he only wears black.
Normally?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I shouldn't say normally. Most recently he wore that like dark red.
Oh, that's right.
Like
that's right.
Inner volcano.
That's right.
Chamber of hell.
Ooh.
Yeah, thank you. Colors.
Yeah.
But before that, he was mostly wearing black.
Uh-huh.
But there was a time when he wore baby blue. Yeah, baby blue.
Baby blue and red. So this is the same guy who wore baby blue and red.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he had another, he had a different red, actually. He has a lot of gear. He's a lot of different colors.
Now that you're saying it, I remember the other red.
It was more of a golden, sort of an Iron Man, you know? And now he's transitioned into like a real dark, evil red.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's one more in there that I'm legitimately forgetting, because usually this bit goes on longer.
Mollusk? A mollusk? That's inside of a mollusk?
Yes, that's right.
Are you talking about a mollusk?
That's right, because in one Aztec Warfare, he came out in like a blue and white number.
Now I remember.
And then there's... They're potentially... Oh, maybe that is the mollusk one.
No. This was like all black. That was like... Yeah. We thought it could have been youth. Or I don't even know what you're talking about.
You were doing a great job already.
Yeah.
Get
it out of the way.
Yeah. News and notes. I've got a news and note.
Oh, I didn't know.
Did you watch any of the New Japan G1 special?
Night one. I completed night one. I haven't finished night two yet.
Okay. So, halfway through night two, Ricochet makes an appearance.
Oh, yeah. I saw this, yes.
And he basically grabs a mic and he, backflips onto the Young Bucks for a split second.
I saw that with his glasses still on.
Yeah, that's right. Lands on his feet. I mean, the guy is amazing. He grabs a mic and he tells the crowd he wishes he would have been here earlier, but a certain underground fighting company were being pricks.
Pricks, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you followed him on like Twitter since then?
No.
He's basically said it was kind of a bit of a work, and he said I would have used stronger language than pricks if I was really upset.
Okay, there you go.
So probably who knows?
An allusion to him not being able to be on TV, especially in the States.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
because there's nothing that prevents him from wrestling for New Japan normally, so it's got to have something to do with it being live broadcast on Access.
I think so. I think maybe it is a contractual thing. Maybe he, maybe he is kind of bummed, but I got the impression from his kind of follow-ups that he's not like legit
upset. Choked.
Yeah.
He signed they're on 7-year contracts.
So they say,
right?
Yeah, but that I had also heard that maybe he had dropped out after year three. There's a lot of hearsay when it comes to hearsay for Ricochet.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. Any other news and notes? What's Aerostar been up to lately? Do we know?
He's in the Middle Ages.
That's right. Traveling through time.
Fighting. I don't know. That'd be a good adventure series. Aerostar through time.
Yeah, that's right. Doing
the adventures of Aerostar through time. It'd be animated.
It's done like King Arthur.
Yeah, it'd be animated though for sure.
I love it.
Sounds great.
Cool. Well, I guess that's that. Let's get right into it.
Most importantly, violence.
I feel like I got to do something to get your energy up here, bud.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's
okay. Okay. You're getting over. We all know from last week you were very sick.
It just
takes a while to recover.
Mm-hmm.
Lucha Underground, Season 3, Episode 25. Recap, right away we see a bit more of Killshot and Dante Fox, Puma Dark, acting as dark as usual, and Cueto Cup, we remember our last little introduction to Son of Madness. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, just as soon as you said Puma Dark,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that we might be in store for like enter the cave type moment that Pentagon Jr. had to go through?
Interesting.
Do we maybe something prior to Ultima Lucha Trace?
Possibly.
You know?
I mean, I can't see him all of a sudden kind of shaking out of this and coming back to white meat babyface.
Yeah, it's true, right? Mm-hmm. You don't really come around like that.
No,
unless something extreme happens.
Yeah, I think it will take a further descent for that turn. I'm not saying the turn won't happen, but I think we're still kind of seeing him get darker.
Yeah, I wonder.
And with more darkness. Mm-hmm. A harbinger of more darkness to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I could see a moment with him like being taken right to the brink and then having to turn around and like hit Vampiro with a chair.
Sure.
And then he's back to being okay.
Yeah, but I think we'd have to see hints of him being tormented the other way. I think the torment we're seeing with him right now is he's having trouble accepting the darkness.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't sense any of the struggle.
No?
No, I feel like
about he's looking in the mirror and he wants to punch it?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay.
He's just there.
Okay.
You know what
I mean? No. I mean, he's definitely darker. And
you can tell by the way he dresses.
Yes, and by just the way he acts, the way he moves in the ring, he's got a little bit of extra vitriol.
Mm-hmm. I suppose. And new finisher.
Yeah. We'll get to it.
All right.
First sequence right away, we see Dante Fox jogging, and love that title card of just Boyle Heights. Bam. Yeah.
That was really interesting. We hadn't seen anything like that before.
Yeah, because it worked really, really well, because right off of him running in slow motion, cuts to him and boom, Afghanistan with the same font.
This was pretty dark.
This was awesome. This was really dark, but it was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
Killshot with a crazy action sequence where he's literally headshots.
I had forgotten about that because we had seen that before.
Yeah. But did we see it that?
Yes.
That particular scene? Crazy.
Yeah.
That was like...
They went back and they filmed some of Dante Fox in that prison cell, or whatever, and they sort of spliced it together really well.
Hmm. I don't remember it being this, I don't want to say explicit, long. I feel like we got to see a lot more this time.
No, I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, we see that Dante was being tortured, just a wild scene throughout here. And finally he's rescued just before he's about to be beheaded. That's
yeah,
what
that was
about.
This pretty
really
gnarly.
Crossing really kind of pushing the envelope
the
here.
Moon-shaped scimitars and stuff, and like the chamber that was just like soaked in blood all around and stuff. It was
edgy. Yeah. I'd say edgy.
It was pretty edgy. The terrorists, you know, filming it for YouTube or something. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. So he's rescued. And they did, I think that was important that they did, like at first we're all kind of thinking, okay, did Killshot come back, but he still harbors this resentment, but no, it's not him. So it's good that they showed that. And it finally cuts back to him, like it's still affecting him as he's jogging, like with each punch he's kind of taking it as he jogs. And it finishes with Killshot on top of the building, just pointing the gun at him.
Yeah, that was really strange because felt like it almost like a double turn, you know, like suddenly, like because that was just so foreboding.
Yeah,
to have Killshot up above and like looking down, the way it was shot, slow motion,
yeah,
slowly cresting over the edge of the building, and then the gun pointing at him. It was so threatening. That's not something a babyface does.
No, no. No,
maybe there's more to this story than we.
Yes. I think that's a, like that's part of it. Like we are. This is meant to make us.
Could you imagine sympathize. If there was like, oh yeah, Killshot is a member of ISIS. You'd be like, what?
Oh my god! I don't know if they'd go that far. That'd be quite the. That'd be a shark jump, man. That's a big roll of the dice.
Oh, you think? Oh, I don't know.
See, I was also thinking that that could have just been he's so shell shocked. That's possible that he just imagined.
Was hallucinating imagining the Killshot was there. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But awesome. I say, like, do we still have like sequences of the year? Like, I would definitely nominate this one. I loved it. So we enter the temple. This is our farewell to the great Sergio Arua. He's in town next week. I got tickets.
Are you absolutely
no?
Are you kidding me?
That would be great.
Nice.
First
well
match.
Done. Well done.
Lucha Libre Genius.
First match, PJ Black versus Sexy Star. I noticed early on, like, PJ Black doing the stuff with his hands, doing that kind of crotch shot and kind of doing a little more things with his hands. I noticed he's just using his 10 fingers to the like their full effect.
Oh, God.
Like, I think it's kind of like the tease in, remember Arrested Development? Buster, if you watch the early episodes, he uses his hands for everything, like way more than he should. They're just kind of foreshadowing that he's going to lose.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
at some point, I can guarantee you at this point, that the last footage of PJ Black with wrestling with all 10 fingers
probably
going to be
in Lucha Underground.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's done some dates. Remember, this was filmed a long time ago.
I guess that's true.
I liked seeing PJ work the arm to start. That was a nice. Interesting thing. It didn't last too long, but they had to throw in a Jim Breaks reference. Have you ever seen Jim Breaks reference?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh man, he comes from World of Sport. He's amazing. He was a revelation when I found this guy. I went down a definite rabbit hole. He's hilarious. And
Jim Brinks.
Jim Breaks. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
A must search. There was that Tilt-A-Whirl head scissors that went for a long time. I thought that was really well shot. From the overhead, that didn't. I'm not going to defend Sexy Star. I thought she was super clunky today. I thought PJ Black really had to help each one of her Hurricane Ranas.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't put all. I groaned because I'm just not a fan of the Tilt-A-Whirl head scissor because I just feel like it's too easy to see through.
Yes, but Sexy Star needs those kinds of moves, I think.
You know how I feel about moves where your opponent has to help you.
Yes.
Right? And so this is one of those ones that just makes no sense.
Yeah.
From physics.
I understand.
From physics, it makes no sense.
Sure, but it makes sense for Sexy Star to do it.
Anyways, listen, this match didn't do it for me.
Not me. No, me either.
But I'm not going to throw all the blame on Sexy Star.
No. She did have a couple really kind of plucky crossbodies. That's what she's got. A really plucky crossbody.
I just don't think that their styles matched up to all.
No, not at all.
I think that, Sexy Star's got great energy, great charisma. Yeah, her moveset isn't her moveset is not flamboyant. And I think that PJ Black was almost looking for excuses to do flamboyant selling.
Sure.
And the two things just did not match up well. My favorite part of the match was at the very beginning, the stuff that PJ Black was doing, sort of, you know, overpowering her and sort of relishing
that's what I'm
in
saying.
It.
Yeah, the arm work at the beginning made sense.
I did like. So. How do you feel about Sexy Star hitting the ref with the brass knuckles?
We'll talk about that at the end here. PJ did make that really wild bump to the outside. Do you remember that? She pushed him off of the top rope.
Yeah.
That was pretty nuts. But yeah, Taya comes in and then tosses in the brass knuckles. As soon as I saw Taya, I'm like, all right, I like my pick. I thought she it would end up kind of effing PJ over.
Oh.
But no, because I had picked Sexy Star. But so she ends up grabbing them and gets disqualified, which, as we talked about,
yeah,
like how rare is a disqualification in Lucha Underground?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, she knocks out the ref. That was interesting.
I just did not get that at all. It seemed so out of character. The whole thing just felt so weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big tournament. There's going to be a lot of matches.
Yeah, they can't all be winners.
Maybe we've been spoiled so far.
Sure, sure. I think this week of the first rounds had my least favorite matches, with the exception of the last one was good.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. But all in all, as a whole, these four, against the other four, I'd put it fourth. That's a lot of fours. Yeah, not a good match.
But what? Going back to Sexy Star hitting the ref.
Mm-hmm.
What? How am I supposed to interpret that?
I know.
What do you think their intention was?
Mm-hmm.
Because like, either...
She got screwed over here. So yeah, he deserves it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is that it?
Is that it? Or is it a...
Whoa, Sexy Star showing like a more violent side.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then that's really retreading on...
Everything.
Yeah.
Everybody. I think it'll end up being nothing.
Did we ever figure out the spider thing?
I don't think we did. I think they'll have to come back to it.
Did we ever
I don't think we did.
She probably thinks that she has because
she beat up Veneno. Who knows? Maybe it's been retconned. Maybe they took it out. I have some theories about retcon. We'll get to it in terms of... I think I noticed some like stuff that... is like plan B.
Yeah, okay.
Next, this is finally this promo number four between Rey Mysterio Jr. and Johnny Mundo. Great again. Rey with the kids.
Yeah, that was good. They needed more kids though, man.
Yeah.
They needed more kids.
Yeah, just like the four of them putting their arms up at the top of the stairs or when he's kind of rapping with them. So what do you guys know about crack cocaine? You know, that's exactly what's going on there. I know it's bad. That's right. I thought it was good to finish with just the two of them, like them giving their words about each other and what they think.
Yeah.
Jack Evans is in the backstage segments here, I noticed, for the first time, but he's still not wrestling. Ray's last thing, that's why I fight, and Johnny Mundo's is a first-class ticket to Slamtown. Awesome. Again, I hope this is the last one.
Yeah, this definitely felt like it was beginning to run out of steam, for sure. But you get the sense that it is, since what happens at the end of the episode.
Yeah. So next match, Son of Havoc versus Son of Madness.
Man, do we know anything about the performer who is playing Son of Madness?
No.
I tried Googling it, but I was like, what do I Google? Son of Madness, wrestler, Lucha Underground.
Yeah. Nothing.
Nobody seems to
know who he is.
Well, I don't think anybody's really talking about it. Just yet.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So somebody knows.
He knows.
He certainly knows.
I would wager Son of Havoc probably knows.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know.
He did not do it for me.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he doesn't have the same build, whether it was the first thing that kind of like took me out of it. He's nowhere near
his... Was he cast because he has a beard?
I think it's possible.
Yeah. He's a tall guy. He has a beard.
Mm-hmm.
He's a trained wrestler.
If you put that half mask on him, he's from the neck up, he looks a lot like Son of Havoc.
Yeah. Maybe I just don't care about biker gang like
gimmicks,
aesthetics. Any of that. Mm-hmm. I don't care about biker culture.
Sure.
Harley Davidson stuff is just like eye rolling to me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I am just
lost
a
like
bleeding
half of our
heart liberal.
Maybe I'm just.
But I just don't care about motorcycles or motorcycle aesthetics or any of that stuff. So maybe this is just inherently just not what I'm into.
Uh-huh. But there is, do you think of, the Son of Anarchy audience? So I don't hate on them for going somewhere with this. Speaking of biker culture, they did mention the Sturgis. That's a big bike rally that I have been to.
You have?
Yeah, I went with my family. It was on a family. We went through Wyoming, South Dakota.
Did you really?
North Dakota, and probably back through Montana. Or
is that dangerous? It sounds like it's just rife with criminals.
Yes. No. We'd stay at the same hotel with some of them. They were super nice. One guy, first thing he did was my dad was wearing a Flames t-shirt. He's like, "Oh, you guys are from Calgary," and went right into it. And he looked like Son of Havoc, you know. everyone that we talked to, the sweetest guys. I think you're thinking more like Hell's Angels and that kind of thing.
Yes, stuff,
which is. I would imagine the people that go to the Sturgis bike rally are probably kind of put off at that belief.
Okay.
Well, okay.
I'm sorry.
I get it. What are we going to come out here and pretend this is our thing?
Yeah. I'm an open-minded guy.
Sure.
You know, it's very, I'll say this, that if it was God, I don't know.
Surf culture?
No, I feel the same way about surf culture. Really? Yeah, don't give a fuck. But if it was something Japanese drumming.
Uh-huh.
You know, the big drums?
Yes.
I don't care about that stuff. But I would never be so adamantly opposed to it out loud. Uh-huh. I think it has something to do with race.
Yes.
Anyways.
Exoticism.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I feel no exoticism
towards
motorcycles or surfers. Don't care.
Oh, interesting.
Yoga as well.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah.
That's part of
it. This is an extra yoga guy came out and is like, oh. And not
that
even
might be a great
No. Because you're going to what would be cool. Yeah. We're not talking Street Fighter Dalsim yoga. We're talking doofus down the street.
That's what I'm saying. That could be a good heel gimmick.
Maybe.
Comes with his mat.
I'll work
on
that.
Lululemon tights.
I'll work on that.
I'll go through it as quickly. Like I said, neither one of us took a lot of notes here, but Son of Havoc goes right after him because he's like, "Who is this son of a bitch?"
Well, they seem to imply that he knew him.
Ah.
Yeah, with the announcing was trying to push that angle. Hmm.
I didn't really read that, but...
Oh, I mean, I think that from listening to Stryker and Vampiro, the story is that this guy has been sent by the biker gang to take back his vest or whatever. I mean, to me, this whole thing just feels like it's an unfortunate sort of retread of what we did with Marty and Killshot with the dog tags.
Yeah.
You know? So if this is just going to be he's got the vest. I want the vest back. Mm-hmm. We have to fight for the vest. I get the vest back.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's over.
I see what I'm wearing. I think this might end up being fucking Son of Havoc's Ultima Lucha Trace opponent.
Well, that was what I was thinking too. Why would you have this? You could build something here and then end it with oh my God, Son of Madness versus Son of Havoc. Finally.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, Son of Madness shows up. Who is this guy? He's messing with Son of Havoc constantly. There's so much mystery. I can't wait to unpeel back the layers and learn about this or whatever.
Yes.
But instead, it's just like, there he is. They fought, and Son of Havoc wins?
Yeah, I guess.
It's what?
With a couple of weird little goofy roll-ups.
And then at the end, he took the vest. So this is all just going to be about the vest.
I guess. Anyways, let's get to this stupid match.
What? And No. Why did they looked, I get that they look similar, but they don't have to look identical. It was kind of hard to tell who was who at times.
I didn't have a problem.
No?
No. No. Just because Son of Havoc's a much better wrestler.
I love the idea of a doppelganger.
Uh-huh.
We thought it was I don't know, my mind was just going in so many places. I'm like, where could this possibly be about?
Yes.
Son of Havoc, Son of Madness, they look the same.
Yes.
What could this be?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh, he's here for your vest. That's it?
Yeah.
He's here for the vest.
Yeah, it's a little weak.
I did like how Son of Madness, his logo on the, on his biker logo on the back of his had like little swirly eyes because he's crazy.
Okay.
Slight difference.
Madness. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
So yeah, like their opening strikes on those stairs were just awful. But then the toss down the stairs was awesome. That was a good bump that Son of Madness took. There's some okay back and forth. There's just, they are playing up that they know each other well, the way they were fighting against you. I see what you're saying. So I wrote Son of Madness. I don't know. There's that. But he did have that kind of interesting kind of running tope from the outside.
Yeah,
that I've was never cool. seen that before.
Oh, Sami Zayn does that.
He does it into a DDT. Remember, he goes through and then catches a guy and then tilt-a-whirl DDTs out of it.
No way.
Yeah. Son of Havoc has much more interesting offense. So I liked when he was on top a lot more. Okay, neck stomp spot. He did that trap rope spot into cutter for a near fall, cool. which is always great.
It's always cool. I've never seen anybody else do that ever. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible spot.
Mm-hmm. That was funny. Vampiro gives a brief on-air kind of like ad for Lucha Underground there. Only at Lucha Underground. You got to come check it out. I was waiting for him to drop a visit us. And
yeah, here's the address. Yeah. Call us in. I think announcing 4 episodes in a row, their brains are probably sure. just paced at this sure. point, you know?
Yeah. And then I said, like, the really weak finish with, like, him, Son of Madness, trying for a roll-up with the tights and not getting it, and then Son of Havoc got it. So, yeah, there's 2. And I am 0-2 to start the night.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah.
Because we all thought those question marks were going to be Matanza, so. That's
did
about
anybody
our
in our sorry,
pick the pick Son of Havoc? Yeah, I believe beloved Bobby C did.
Oh.
Now that I say it.
Bobby C.
Yeah.
Bobby yeah. C oh, was hey, going to be making a cameo at my wedding. Yeah, and he doesn't even great. Realize it. Bobby C, I know you're listening. Yeah. I'll show you a picture when it's all said and done. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Nothing crazy.
Nothing strange.
It's tasteful.
Please. Of
course. Yeah, that's about the halfway point, though, my friend.
We got new ads.
Yeah.
All right. So we got, here's some, new messages from our friends at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on 3 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. and on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed. We offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes, and while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlacementNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacementNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
So,
next chief?
Yep.
I was just having the idea. I just think it should always be just old announcers. That could be the run gimmick.
No.
No?
Well, I just say no because I don't know enough to really.
You know Sean Mooney?
No.
I should look him up. He's a great choice. People will back me up there, especially the way he's kind of aged. He's got a little more grizzled. He shows up on the Edge and Christian show sometimes. He's working the bar always. He's good. He's got a good sense of humor. PTBN just did an interview with him. It might have been PWO's feed. Had an interview with him recently. Yeah, okay. He's awesome.
Okay. I'm going to go left field, are you?
Okay.
How would you feel about Maria Kanellis?
As chief?
Yeah.
Short term, right? These are all like they're all short term. Okay.
Yeah.
Short term, sure. Yeah.
They all
have
one little arc.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like Murphy Brown always had a different secretary.
Oh, you want to do like just straight up cameo?
Yeah. Yeah. Or just someone who's there for the. Like, that's like part of why their precinct is never really fully appreciated. They're always kind of a joke, maybe. They're like, you guys can't even hold on to a chief for longer than a week.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't know. Listen,
we've established they have a rivalry going with the Boyle Heights fire department.
Oh, that's right.
That bowling episode.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Winter City Knights. Look for it. Next match, our beloved Prince Puma versus Ricky Mandel, who is currently interning. We both kind of giggled at that.
Was a nice touch.
Worldwide Underground. He does the Johnny Mundo entrance. Pretty good that he's just kind of like he's a little dweebazoid, but he's still.
Yeah.
And he's kind of selling that he's a little uncomfortable doing it, too. Like he's not quite like the wind kind of bugged him a bit.
Yeah, it was cold. I think he said like, well, it's cold. I liked it.
Here's what I think. Okay, here's my theory in terms of retcon. I think Ricky Mandel got elevated to this position because Jack Evans got hurt. I don't think we'd be seeing Ricky Mandel as a member of the Worldwide Underground if Jack Evans hadn't been hurt.
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
Right?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I don't think he's done anything particularly vital that had to happen, that a character needed to do, and therefore he was coming in as a vital replacement.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like... he's had a few run-ins and stuff like that, but that could have been anybody interchangeable mm-hmm. with any member of the Worldwide Underground.
But remember those three pictures. Like, I think that was supposed to go somewhere else.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What is up with those pictures?
Until we hear again.
Sword? Are we ever going to see Captain Vasquez again?
That's right. I hope so. I really hope we do see Dagger with a sword. That'd be the worst tease to cut that out.
I'm excited. I mean, we got 15 episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Well, still, I guess it's a home stretch though when you think about it, out of 40. I like Ricky Mandel grabs a mic and he called him Puma to start. I thought that was kind of funny. He gets a really great boot to the face. Those boots, Prince Puma's boots to the face, always look crazy great.
Mm-hmm.
Went right into his Sweet Northern Lights
combo, that or that suplex that finished with the Northern Light suplex to a near fall. I thought he was going to finish him with that. I would have been fine with that. Mm-hmm. But Ricky Mandel did get a little offense. Puma with another boot. And had, as I was saying, he's got a good level of darkness and kind of sinister to his character right now. Mm-hmm. And then Puma unveils his new finisher, which looked like young Ricky barely tucked that chin in. But it looks awesome. Looks good.
Yeah, sit out powerbomb.
Yeah, something like that. But it, almost into a almost like a pile driver finish.
Hmm.
So here's my one I got right this week.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody got that across the board.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a gimme. Vampiro gives his approval from the side in his little kind of, looks like he was kind of dressed like a, an East Van dad in the backyard barbecue. You know what I mean?
That's hipster
what
he looked dad.
Like. Yeah. Hipster dad.
Mm-hmm.
Next, or what did you think? You know, is
I mean,
straightforward.
Yeah, exactly.
It went as could be expected. Yeah. Like I said, I would have been happy with an even quicker squash, but
yeah, me too. I'm fine. Ricky Mandel's a character now. Let's give him in there and give him something to do, and so that's cool. I'm glad it was as fast and furious as it was.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I say?
Next, Dragon Azteca Jr. backstage in his robe, looking beautifully shot for this sequence.
Yes.
Yeah, those feathers look great. Ray enters, kind of talks to him. Dragon Azteca Jr. says, I can't wait till you win, because then I'll get to face you. And he's kind of saying it with a smile on his face, like competitive spirit. But then Puma enters and says, and is a little less friendly about saying he wants an Ultima Lucha Trace rematch, and he finishes. It was a good echo to his what he said last week. He says he won't lose. This time he said I won't lose. So that was awesome.
He said I won't lose.
Yeah,
but he didn't say you will lose.
I won't. Good point. Yeah, could be a double count out.
I don't know.
That's how Ultima Lucha Trace, like maybe the last episode of Lucha Underground ends.
If it does, you've heard it here first. And we'll also see Time Traveling Cage be revealed.
Finally.
Which I am...
I think we've already seen Time Traveling Cage, when you think about it.
That's right. I'm actually pretty sure it's going to be Time Traveling Cage.
You cling to that one.
Just wait. Because if it happens, this podcast is going to go through the roof.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to blow up.
Oh, you have no idea.
Yeah. Here we go. Last match. Dante Fox with El Dragon Azteca Jr. with Rey Mysterio. We understand why he did it. I don't think it made much sense at the beginning. El Dragon Azteca Jr. has the full headdress on.
Yeah, the return of the headdress. I had forgotten about the headdresses. Now that we haven't seen them in a while, it sort of came across as kind of campy fun, but when he came out, it was a little off kilter and stuff.
Yeah, not quite on, right?
Yeah.
Had to do the old Pindar adjustment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems too amusement park or something. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it. Man, I really feel like we're slagging on Lucha Underground this
a little bit today. Episode. I didn't hate the headdress. I know the headdresses are not hugely popular online, but I it's fine. I like it. I like. I'm a pageantry guy. That's me.
Yeah. You know what I think? Thinking back to King Cuerno. Okay.
Yeah.
When Cuerno would come out
with the deer,
that was a legit deer head.
Yeah.
And then when Puma and Dragon Azteca would come out, they would not be legit animals. They were like foam rubber prop type.
Yeah. It looked like BYU was getting rid of an old mascot outfit.
Yeah. Exactly. Boy. Boyle Heights University, BHU.
No, BYU. It's Brigham Young.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. I think I might be thinking of Penn State or something. Anyways,
it doesn't matter. So maybe they set up their perception of it incorrectly by having the real one that looked gritty and looked mysterious, and then like the
dum-de-dum-de-dum.
Yeah.
And then, dragon, a dragon.
I mean, you can't have a taxidermy dragon head.
No, right? but it could look closer to what to Drago it. Has.
Yeah, I mean, right? Drago is more of a convincing dragon than
Dragon
Azteca Jr. Anyways. I'm not trying to be negative.
No.
I'm not trying to be negative.
Hey, we're going to come around on this last match, I believe.
I love the show.
Yeah.
I love the show. That's why I do the podcast.
Yeah. And like I said, I think we're going to come around on this last match. At least I am. Right away, Vampiro calls out the fact that Rey is there. It's important storyline-wise that they do mention that he's there, that they call attention to it. I just don't... For a babyface to bring an extra muscle with them, it didn't quite make sense. Anyways, nice pace to start. Much better than what we'd seen so far. Dragon Azteca with some fun rope work, luchador style, or lucha libre style. Tope followed by that senton from Dante Fox. Two crazy moves. Dante Fox looked great in this match.
Mm.
Nasty looking leg drop off the top onto the apron from Dragon Azteca Jr. Do you remember that? That looked rough.
Compressed spinal cord, yeah. I'm sure. Wrestlers. If you're listening to this, be careful on those leg drops, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're good.
Or even like the old, you think about Nikki Bella, couldn't do the rack attack anymore. She used to drop to her knees with someone over her shoulders. It's the same kind of thing, I would imagine. Starts to put pressure on it. I like that Vampiro was pissing on Marty Elias's slow count. That was pretty good. Dante Fox works the injured back. There's really good stuff from Dante Fox. Creative offense. Nice series of counters from both of them throughout this match. Nasty looking bump from Dante Fox off of the Rana to the outside. Yeah. Or on the outside.
Yeah, these two guys, they're competitors at the same level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not as familiar with Dante Fox, but, you know, from watching him perform in everything we've seen so far, like, the guy is acrobatic, he's crisp,
he's doing the little things, like I said,
stealth.
Working.
I mean, yeah. They're the same, they're of the same sort of genre of wrestler, and I think it came across so natural.
Yeah.
If you compare this to the Sexy Star Darewolf match, which was they were sort of antithesis to one another.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
I think if you would put Darewolf in with either one of these guys, you would have had a stronger match because it seemed more of like their natural opponents.
Of course, you know? Yep. And they're two good wrestlers. I would say Dante Fox is a great wrestler.
Yeah, absolutely.
That great C4 off the middle rope. What's his name? Stryker had a longer name for it. I didn't write it all down.
Seated springboard C4.
Yeah, very good.
Was crazy. That was a crazy move.
Awesome.
I've never seen that before.
Me neither. Yeah. Dante Fox is awesome. Then we saw a messy Spanish fly, but it still looked great. Going the other way. So it was good that they were answering each other's moves. Good build to the finish here. Crowd was finally getting hot. More of an exchange of blows, and then Taya interferes, and at first I'm like, what? And the rest of the World of Underground,
it's a second run-in by Lucha Underground in the same episode.
And I was thinking we were going to get the kill shot run-in here to eliminate Dante Fox from this.
I don't mind. That's what I expected. I don't mind having my expertise.
Sure, me too.
I don't mind that not happening.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed... I get why they did. I just don't understand. I guess I get why they did this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not angry about it.
No.
I just felt like because they had done something so similar in the earlier episode, it lost something, right?
And was it the main event of that episode as well?
No, I mean earlier in this episode. When they came in from Sexy Star and Darewolf.
Yes, Ty has come out twice. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So it's like...
Yeah, I did not like the finish at all. Did not like the finish at all, but I still went 3 stars on this because I loved... This was... maybe we've seen better work from Dante Fox, but I can't remember being consistently wowed throughout a match as I was with him in this.
Yeah, I mean, I could... As a sophisticated wrestling fan, Travis, I feel like I know what you're saying when I was watching Dante Fox.
Or are we going to talk to somebody else?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like, watching it, I was like... impressed and seeing stuff that I had never seen before. Of course, I'm going to go back to my old thing I keep laboring on. I'm sorry, but kind of felt like they cut around the action a little bit too much. And a lot of these really interesting moves I felt were distorted due to either the camera angle or an awkward cut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I could tell. I could tell that things were happening that I had never witnessed before, and they seemed crisp and they seemed hard-hitting. Mm-hmm. And so I just wish I could get alternate angles or see the raw footage or
something. Sure.
You know?
Hey, there's an idea for when you release the DVD set. Lucha Underground.
Just put a GoPro up in the corner. No commentary. Oh, God. I love no commentary.
Yeah, I know you do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as we said, of the first round episodes, probably the least strongest. There's still...
What was your top of all the first round matches? What was your top?
Best match? Maybe Jeremiah Crane versus Killshot.
That one was pretty tight.
I liked Drago and Aerostar, but not as much. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I would say Killshot and Jeremiah Crane.
Yeah, I'd agree. My brain says yes to this. My heart tells me Masquerita Sagrada versus Pindar.
Because that little guy could spin.
Oh, it was great.
It was awesome.
How are we in
bracket updates? Both you and I just got the single point tonight. Mm-hmm. Everybody else got a deuce.
No kidding. We got bested.
Yeah. So we have a four-way tie for first now with myself, Bobby C., Christopher Kent, and Stefan Adamus. And you and Chad.
I'm last.
You and Chad are dragging up the rear at the 11 points. But it's a one point goal spread. Game. And now we go into the... What's the next round?
Next round is 2 points.
2 points each?
Yeah. And then the round after that is four. The final round is worth seven. Although I got to say, I really... having Son of Madness lose really messed up my bracket pretty bad. Mm-hmm. I had who I thought was Matanza. Yeah. Oh, I was convinced those question marks were going to be Matanza. I had him going to the semifinals.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah, but did not happen.
Not to be.
Now it's Son of Madness. Son of Havoc. Oh, yeah, God, yeah, it's going to get hard.
Yeah.
Here's what they can do to get my interest back into the Son of Madness, Son of Havoc thing.
Mm-hmm.
Next episode, debut a third guy.
Sure.
Who looks exactly the same.
Son of Mayhem.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Here's what I was saying to you as we were watching. This means that in canon, in Lucha Underground canon, there is a Mother Madness as well.
Mother of Madness.
Because Mother Havoc.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Or, you know, the other thing they could do? They could have Son of Madness come out with like a anti Masquerita Sagrada.
Yes. Yeah. His roommate.
Yeah. I mean, just take it to the extremes. And How far can you take it?
And they just like hate bagel bites. They just toss them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, this would be great. They hate bagel bites.
Boo! Boo! It's just like one bagel bites marketing plant in the front really trying to get that going.
Why not? Why not? I love it. I think it's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hey.
Still, a solid round. I mean, this... The 32 wrestlers, you know, 16 matches. I'd say we got 10 good matches. 10 good matches.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, at least. And then some other ones. And others were fair to, like, the very few just duds. It just so happened that we got, I think, a couple of them this.
I mean, yeah, solid. Super solid tournament overall.
Yep.
Just like
so far. Here. Yeah. More to come.
That's it from us. How can people find us on social media?
Find us. Follow us on Twitter @Lucha_AfterGurned. Just search for Lucha Afterground. You'll find us. Follow PTBN Wrestling. That's where you'll find us. Give us a 5-star review. Check out placetobenation.com as well. There's some interesting discussion threads going on there as well. Oh, and it was Kerry Hojo. Hojo.
Right. She just joined Instagram. I don't know if you...
Oh, I know.
You're on it. Yes, okay. All right. We'll be here next week.
Request remains. Will you join us?